Good evening, everyone. My name is James Sagerton. This is the December 14th, 2021 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum, so I'm convening this meeting. And I will ask the secretary to go to the roll call.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Nick Arena, Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey? Lyndon Foley?
Here, sorry.
And
Elizabeth
here.
Von Gunten? Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims? I don't think that was Anita.
No, Julia is here in place of Anita. Right. Anita won't be with us tonight.
Right, okay. That's eight.
Very good. Julia, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear
good.
Me?
Yes, now I can. I couldn't at first. Okay. Thank you, R. Paul. Now we're going to go to adopting the agenda. This is number three, and I'll read the agenda first. Number one is convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt the agenda. Number four, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval for 3 minutes. Number six, if available, report from the Pacifica Executive Director, 10 minutes report with questions and answer. Number seven, third-party fundraising, 10 minutes. Number eight, review the year-end September financials and October financials. ICFO reporting with Q&A, 40 minutes. Number nine, ICFO report, 10 minutes, report and question and answer. Number 10, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 2022, 5 minutes. Number 11, unfinished business with the national office. Compile a list to share with the National Office of year-end outstanding items, 5 minutes. Number 12, adjourn to executive session no later than 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion? Well, first I'll move to adopt the agenda, then we'll have open the floor for discussion. Can everyone hear me?
I hear you.
This is Beth letting you know that I'm in. I had difficulty getting in. I don't know whether you've done roll call or not yet.
Yeah, we did, Beth. Thank you for letting us know you're here.
I'm here, yeah. Thank you.
I had some trouble getting in myself. Okay. Was there any discussion on the agenda? R. Paul, you had a suggestion earlier about a different way to do the executive session?
Well, maybe something, let me get to your agenda here. Maybe something like adjourn to executive session. I don't know, if you want to make it no later than 9:45, that seems quite late. And I don't know, maybe more flexibility in saying, just make number 12 adjourn to executive session and don't set a time certain for it. I don't know. I don't know if that's practical. I don't know what's coming up from the audit committee. And so you know more than I do about it. So would that be a good idea, or do you really want to have it be 9:45?
Well, actually, my concern was sort of the opposite of yours. I wanted it to be 9:45 so that we would go to it and have at least that much time to deal with it and not do as we often do, extend items and then end up not getting to everything.
All right. Well, again, you know what's coming up. I don't, so I leave it up to you.
Okay. Let's try it this way and see how it goes. If we get done with the executive session, we can come back to the open session, right?
Oh God.
that becomes complicated.
Well, there is a complication.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes to the rules.
Yeah, we can do it. It's complicated.
Okay. Let's go with the way it is and hope it works out. And if we have to do it that way, we'll try it, complicated though it may be. Okay. Is there any other additions, subtractions, discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider it adopted. And we'll now go to number four, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. I'll make this quick. The NFC membership is changing as a result of the annual reorganization elections that are underway at the stations. Tonight we are joined by Sean Kelly McPherson, newly elected treasurer from KPFT. Welcome, Sean. Thank you, Teresa Allen, for your service. Welcome back to our reelected treasurers, Nick Arena, WPFW, and R. Paul Martin, WBAI. KPFA has not had its LSB elections yet, but Sharon Adams terms out at the end of this session. Thank you for your service, Sharon. The KPFK has not had their LSB elections yet. Did I get all of that right? Any additions?
Yeah, when people term out as delegates, they can still be treasurers.
Oh, I guess. Okay, good point. So my apologies, Sharon. I don't know then what you'll be deciding to do. Okay. I'll go on with these announcements and then see if Sean would like to introduce himself. Our ICFO will not be joining us tonight. In her place will be NETA controller Julia Kennard, who is the person that does much of the work at NETA for Pacifica. Tonight we will continue to review the year-end September 2021 financials and begin a review of the October 2021 financials. At the end of our open public meeting tonight, we will go into executive session to review the confidential management letter from the 2020 audit. The audit committee chair, Eileen Rosen, will join us in the executive session. There are no other new announcements, but I'd like to take a moment now to have Sean introduce himself if he wishes.
Well, I don't have much to say, only that I've been Pacifica listener and supporter since KPFT came back on the air after the first time it was bombed. And I've never been so concerned about it being able to continue as a community, a local Houston community resource. That's all I got, guys.
Good to hear. Well, thank you for that, Sean. Bring back to mind a memorable, horrific moment in Pacific history.
I always say, I was 12 years old, and my dad came home. His office was down the street from the original station on Louisiana Street, and he said that he told me that, you know, the station had been bombed. And my 12-year-old brain said, well, hell, anything worth bombing must be worth listening to.
Very good. I'm just going to indulge myself and ask you a very quick question. I understand that transmitter used to be on display at the station. Have they made arrangements to move that with the new transition?
I cannot answer that. I do not know.
No worry. Well, welcome to the committee, Sean. Appreciate your presence. And I will read one more of these announcements for Sean's benefit, even though it's kind of a permanent announcement. The monthly financials and other significant materials are simultaneously copied to the NFC, the interim executive director, the PMB officers, and the general managers. Please review them before the NFC meetings and be ready to discuss and ask questions if you wish. So that concludes the announcements. And we'll now go to number six, a report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director. I didn't hear her on the roll call. Lydia, are you here? Not hearing anything. We will skip that then and go to number 7, which is third-party fundraising. This is a 10-minute discussion. Elizabeth von Gunten will be presenting. Beth, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
You want to tell everybody where they can find your motion?
Yes, I emailed it to the list just within an hour before this meeting began. So it should be somewhere near the top of your email stat. I can send it again if people want. What's the pleasure of the committee?
Would anybody like to have that sent again? I think you'll be able to find it. And Beth, while people are looking for it, why don't you go ahead with your introduction, and if anybody does not find it, we can deal with that.
Okay, shall I read it? It's not that long.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Then motion on third-party fundraising. Whereas current Pacifica third-party fundraising practices present unresolved financial, regulatory, and policy issues, and whereas Pacifica policy is to conduct all business in compliance with current Pacifica bylaws and policy and all applicable laws and regulations, therefore, be it resolved that Pacifica shall pause all third-party fundraising immediately and until outstanding financial, regulatory, and policy issues are identified and resolved and appropriate Pacifica policy and procedures are adopted by the PNB, documented, and implemented at all Pacifica stations. All findings and proposals pursuant to this resolution shall be reported to the PNB at each PNB meeting until all outstanding issues are resolved.
Okay, R. Paul, very fast. In the first line of the resolution there, it should say, it reads, all third-party fundraising immediately and until all outstanding financial, et cetera. You left out the all in that one. That was unintentional, right?
I'm looking at the first line. Let me look. We're current Pacifica third-party fundraising.
Yeah, it's written that way with all in it. But you didn't say it, so I was wondering if you would change it.
Well, this is the most current iteration of something I've worked on all year, so you're probably right. I did omit it. Where does it belong? Remind me.
No, the final paragraph reads for me, but I'm reading it.
Yeah.
Therefore, be it resolved that Pacifica shall pursue all third-party fundraising immediately and until all outstanding financial, et cetera. You had left out all in front of outstanding.
It's okay, sorry.
In reading.
Is it omitted just from what I read or from the actual text?
Only from what you said. The text has it in.
Then that's just the consequence of a very long day. Thank you for catching that. Good question.
Beth, would you like to go ahead now and motivate your motion?
Point of order.
What is your point of order, Sean?
I've not been on the committee long enough. I have no idea what the rules of this committee are. I question whether 30 minutes notice of the motion is within the ambit of the bylaws and the rules of this committee. I genuinely don't know because I just got here. But that seems a little it would be strange if that's the rule.
Well, that is understood, and I should do a better job of getting our agendas out. I guess I'm following in a long tradition of doing things at the last minute here on this committee. But after we have some discussion of the issue, Sean, if you wish to postpone it so that you can give it further consideration or consult with others, that would be perfectly appropriate.
Thank you.
And let me just say also, I'm hearing a little bit of an echo sometimes. Is everybody else getting that, or is it just me?
There's an echo on Sean's line for some reason, James.
I keep muting myself whenever I'm not talking. I apologize. I can't do anything about it.
No worries, Sean. Thank you for trying to help.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, R. Paul.
So So your ruling on the point of order is that, yes, 30 minutes notice is fine. Which is what
yes, for the discussion, yes.
Right.
Like I said, if there's objection, we can, or if there's interest, we can postpone it for so people can do more consultation and consideration. So thank you for that, Arpal. Arpal is our resident parliamentarian. As far as I'm concerned, he keeps us on the straight and narrow. It's much appreciated. Go ahead, Beth. You were going to motivate.
Thank you. And for the record, it was a full hour. Not that that's a lot, but this is actually the second time this has come around, this committee, and it's circulated at the local level through the year. It's been brought up to me by listeners repeatedly since I first came on to the LSB a couple years ago. Third-party fundraising is used by some of the programmers at KPFK, and there are, it is possible to do it in compliance, but there are layers of regulations that govern this, from FCC, PNB, California's nonprofit law, other regulatory bodies, probably the IRS too, more than I've been able to track down at this point. There are certain limitations on it, and my concern at this point is that no one is keeping track. No one's keeping a tally. Most programmers aren't aware that there are restrictions or regulations that they have to comply with. And so I'd like to, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it ever, but I am saying that we should stop what we're doing at this point and resume again once we know that we have a compliance system in place. Are there questions?
Sharon,
Who was that, Sharon?
Yes.
Was that Sharon first? Okay, and then Arpal, anyone else?
Chris Corey to the stack.
Chris? Why don't we start there, and then we'll have more. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, well, I have a basic question, which is, what is the definition of third-party fundraising? Because I don't know what is meant by that phrase, and it's not defined anywhere. And I have another follow-up question, but
very
I'd like
good.
An answer. Yeah.
Go ahead, Beth.
So I'll be giving you my working understanding. I'm sure that each of these different regulatory bodies does define it in legal terms. I don't have those definitions in front of me, but in the way I've used it here, it's referring to any time one of our Pacifica programmers doing on-air fundraising makes a pitch to bring in money that is then divided with another nonprofit organization. And so we're one party, the donor is a second party, and that other organization, the other nonprofit is a third party. That's the third party referred to here. And it's specifically regarding our policies related to fundraising, on-air fundraising.
Okay, well, I do have a follow-up. That's interesting definition because I find it interesting that that's the focus of our concern, your concern, whereas when Pacifica is doing fundraising for for-profit corporations selling health and beauty products, and that money is split with for-profit corporations, which is clearly outside of the bounds of the mission and the law, that seems to be okay and is not an issue for you, Beth, apparently, because this is your motion. And there's an implication that something has been done that's improper with what's been going on in this undefined third-party fundraising. And that also is upsetting. considering what is actually happening in Pacifica. So my second question is, when you say that you had concerns, who exactly, what stations exactly are causing this concern to you, and what exactly has been happening at those stations?
Shall I respond?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, first of all, this is by no means my only concern with Pacifica. I have a number of other motions always in the works, but it's important to be focused and specific. If you're going to do good, it's usually more successful if you do so in minute particulars. So this motion addresses an issue that has been brought up to me repeatedly at my local station by a number of listeners. So, I mean, this is specifically in response to listener concerns. I know I'm somewhat familiar with some of what we do at KPFK. I'm not in a position to know what happens 24/7, 365 at four other stations around the country, but it's not an uncommon practice. And various listeners have brought up concerns, sometimes accusations to me. I'm not in a position to be able to address them, to confirm or deny that what they say is happening. I'm saying that until we know, and until we know what people are doing, and until we know that we're in compliance, we should wait to act further in this way.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just say that my opinion is vague. It doesn't explain what third-party fundraising is. It doesn't explain what the violation is that allegedly is happening. So I'll be voting no on this.
Okay. If I might,
one more little bit, but we're almost out of time for this item. So
When this issue was first brought up to me, and I started to draft a motion, I was describing it in using more words than that, and as I spoke with a number of people more familiar with it than I was, they said, no, at the FCC and the other body just refer to it simply as third-party fundraising. If it helps to capitalize those terms so that it's clear that it's a specific technical term, I'd be okay with that. But it is a very, you can... look it up in any of those regulations, and each will give you a separate definition, I'm sure.
Okay, I'm going to ask Beth, if that's a pause, I'm going to ask for if anyone would like to move to extend.
Yes, I so move. This is Sean.
How much time, Sean?
At least a month, 30 days.
No, Sean,
oh, I'm so sorry. I misunderstood.
James,
in which event? Go ahead.
James, your voice is breaking up and almost unintelligible.
How is it now, Fred?
Crystal clear.
Yeah, it seems to be when I apologize. It seems to be when Sean's is when it's his speaker that's on. I'm not sure what that issue is. Sean, do you know?
I do not, but I'm going to try to dial in using my cell phone. I hate cell phones, but I'm going to try to dial in and see if we can't clear up that particular problem.
Excellent. Thank you, Sean. But we need a motion to extend. Does anyone like to make a motion to extend if we're going to continue?
Can Fred be recognized?
Go ahead, Fred.
I move to extend 10 minutes.
Second.
We don't need a second in committee. Is there any objection? Hearing none, I will reset for 10 more minutes. And let's go to our Paul.
Okay. Yes, I think I understand the issue, and I've been a bit concerned about it in the past myself. I would like to hear what the exact things are that are concerning the member right here, and I'd like to hear more about, you know, X did this, or, you know, somebody made a deal with conglomerated widgets to sell widgets on the air or something. And, you know, just some more details about that. Although I will say, you know, as somebody who is always concerned about people not paying attention to rules in Pacifica, that I can see where there is probably a good idea to maybe look into what people are doing, some oversight, maybe not just at the station level, might be a smart idea. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Paul.
And again, if Beth could give us some examples of exactly what she's talking about, that'd be good.
Chair, I have a point of order.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to precaution Beth before she answers that if she gets a little bit too specific here, it may actually put us in some legal jeopardy or possibly expose personnel issues. So be careful how you reply. I would actually prefer to take this up in closed session if possible, but I realize that, you know, we have a limited amount of time there. I'm somewhat familiar with the with the problem here, and I can talk about it in generalities when my turn comes up. So if Beth would rather just punt on this one, that's fine too. And I can try and take it up and answer the question in a more general way. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just felt I had to voice that.
Okay. So that's a point of order, suggesting that a specific answer from Beth would be out of order if she named names or specific programs. And I'm going to rule that's an appropriate objection. And I'm going to ask you, Beth, if you could make your answer, leaving out specific instances that would identify any personnel or program, and try to explain it in general terms, if that's possible.
thank you. I share Chris's concern and will refrain from making specific charges. I'm not in a position to approve or disprove any of the charges I've heard. There are concerns. Overall, I understand that one of the restrictions on third-party fundraising is that there's a limit to the total amount that can be done. And that right now, to the best of my knowledge, no one is keeping track of the total amount. And I don't know whether it's a total amount per station or per network or per programmer or portion of time that we're on the air, but no one is keeping track. There is a limit. We need to know where we stand in relation to that limit, and right now there's no one that I'm aware of, that I've been able to find, that's keeping track. There's also concern about accounting for whatever money is being brought in. It's been hard to track down how that money has been accounted for in our bookkeeping to this point. And maybe Netta would be in a better position to address this than I. But I agree that it's important that if we do take in money for any purpose, that we be able to account for it and to track it, especially if it comes in and then we're supposed to disperse it to a third party. We need a formal compliant process for that. And to the best of my ability, I haven't been able to find that we have something like that in place. So I would like to see that the result of this motion would be to bring us to a point where we have a standard protocol and procedures, and preferably it's in checklist form, so that programmers who aren't familiar with the regulations can go down through the checklist and know whether they're in compliance or not, and know that they're keeping us in compliance if they use it. I don't, as far as I know, it's up to each programmer at this point whether they use it or not, and who else, the third party that they pitch for, and that right now that's not being vetted by any other part of Pacifica as to how clearly it aligns with our mission statement or what our priorities are. And I just would feel better if we had a thorough a policy and procedures for this. Thank you.
Fred for the stack. Fred for the stack.
I've got you, Fred. I'm going to put myself on the stack as well. And then it's time for Chris to be on the stack.
Thanks, James. Yeah, Beth actually covered most of the ground I was going to cover. But I would, however, add one additional point, and that's that I've reviewed this a little bit on my own, and the threshold that would get us in trouble is actually pretty low. And, I mean, if it were a nice high threshold, if it were actually high, it wouldn't concern me. But because it's fairly low, I think it does present a risk for Pacifica. And when I first heard about this, I was deeply concerned, and I'm still pretty deeply concerned at this juncture. So I support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. I mean, Chris. Fred, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yes. One of the things that I've heard is that third-party fundraising would disqualify us for CPB funds, that it's an absolute no-no for the CPB. The other thing is that I've seen the numbers at KPFK and some of our fund drives. It's been the order of magnitude of the amount of money raised for third party entities has been on the order of $40,000 during a particular fund drive. I haven't seen the numbers recently, but that's concerning because the fund drive looks bigger. The income from the fund drive looks bigger. Before taking into consideration money that goes out of the back door to a third party. And given our financial situation at KPFK, it's very concerning. That's it.
Thank you, Fred. I'm going to recognize myself for a moment now and say that when I heard about this, I did take it up with one of our compliance officers, and he indicated to me that the percentage had to be 50% in order to for the regulations to kick in, and that anything under 50% would be just considered a normal thank you gift. Now, Chris has got some contrary information to that, and Beth has mentioned regulations, and so it seems like, you know, one thing we should probably do is look into this a little further. Of course, that's what Beth's motion is calling for.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I guess the question would be, do we want to suspend this source of revenue, or, you know, ask for it to be suspended before we get the information that we need to see whether we're outside or we're within the rules. So, I don't know how that informs anybody's vote, but it's just a thought. And I also wanted to mention that when we are offering products, it certainly has all the earmarks, and it sounds like we're selling things. But, of course, officially what we're doing is what other public broadcasting sources do, which is to offer thank you gifts. And, of course, if the thank you gift is a product, there's more than likely a profit-making entity associated with that product. So, but it is important sometimes to keep in mind that we don't sell things;
Chris,
we offer thank you gifts. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I just want to point out that we're not actually talking about gifts for donations here. The subject is actually when we solicit donations on behalf of a third party. So if I was, say, if I was at KPFA and I was on the air pitching like donations for the Cultural Indian Center up in Sonoma County, the Native American Association, and I was trying to do that in order to encourage people who were interested in that organization to donate to KPFA. That would be like a donation in kind, if you want to think of it that way. And that's the type of thing that we're talking about here. We're talking about pitching for other entities outside of Pacifica, not for door prizes, which is how all of our stations basically operate at this juncture. That's a completely separate issue, and I think an important one to discuss, but I don't think it's covered by Beth's motion. I think she would be happy to back me up on that, but
yes,
that's my understanding. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chris. That was the clarification I was trying to make, and I certainly agree with that assessment. We are now out of time for this item.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
The way the motion is phrased right now, it needs a little bit of something at the front. Something like the NFC recommends to the PNB that it pass the following.
Understood.
Right now it seems that the NFC is saying to do this. We have no power whatsoever.
Before we do that, could I ask if we could have an extension of time? Maybe a little shorter one this time?
So moved.
And you have to name a time, Sean?
5 minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and do that. Thank you, Sean. Why don't you go ahead and see what you can work out there.
I'd like to offer, if I may, I don't want to be out of order, but
you're not out of order. Go ahead.
The motion is so vague and ill-defined, and the discussion which purports to underlie it, frankly, contradicts the language of the motion on its face. I object, and I ask that the motion be tabled so that it can be studied and discussed. I literally had 30 minutes to review the motion, and then this discussion has shed no light on the motion.
Okay, Sean, are you making a motion?
Yes, I move that it be tabled and continued.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Arpaul.
Can't table in committee, I don't think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that you. I have Roberts right here. If you want to give me one full minute, I will look it up and put on my reading glasses here.
Go ahead.
You don't need to, Arpaul. You're correct. The correct procedure is to postpone consideration.
I would think
Then let me use the correct language. I move to postpone consideration.
And usually when you postpone, you want to postpone to a time certain. You want to say the next meeting?
To the next meeting of the PNB. And I would just note that I don't know what you guys are doing, but here at KPFT, we are looking under the seat cushions. I would take money from the devil himself to stay on the air so we could provide the programming to the community that otherwise would have none. That's editorial content there. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, our Paul,
right.
Go ahead.
We really, before we go around postponing, I think the member must have meant to the next meeting of the NFC.
Yes.
Before we do any of this, we need to do the little thing of putting something at the front of it that says the NFC recommends to the PNB that it adopt the following motion. So if there's no objection to that, we can put that in there right now, and that'll be what we're debating, okay?
Let's do that. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, let's do that, Arpaul. Thank you. And let me ask Sean if his intention was to say the next meeting of the NFC as opposed to PMB. Unless you're a director, you can't just bring a motion to the PMB. You would need to come out of this committee.
I did intend the NFC, all the acronyms, there's a ton of them.
That's right. Very good. Thank you for that. Okay, now, was there any further discussion?
Beth, to the stack.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, two things, at least two things. One, this is, I do have concerns that we may, well, though probably are not entirely in compliance. And as Molly, Ivan always used to advise us, when you find yourself in a hole, the first rule of holes is stop digging. I think if we're not in compliance, whatever, if we don't know for sure that we are in compliance, we need to stop what we're doing and find out before we get ourselves in any further trouble. I would also urge that we do take this up yet tonight, because this is the tail end of, for most of the people still on this committee, this has been approached a couple of times earlier in the year, and the can's been kicked down the road. It will be the last opportunity, or one of the last opportunities, for this iteration of this committee to address it. And to wait would mean that the next committee has to begin again at the beginning, while any unresolved issues of compliance go unaddressed. So I urge us to continue.
Sharon
for the stack.
Unfortunately, Sharon, we just went out of time.
Okay.
So I think what we have to do now, what I'm going to say that we should do now, is vote on the amendment and see what happens. And if the amendment fails, we'll vote on the motion.
You mean the motion to postpone?
The motion to postpone, yes. Which is an amendment to the main motion, isn't it?
No, it's a motion to postpone all its own.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, it's a separate motion.
So, R. Paul, will you take the roll? And just so everybody understands, we're voting to whether or not to postpone this item to the next NFC meeting. That's basically what we're voting on. And a yes vote would be to postpone, a no vote would be not to postpone.
Okay. Please answer up. The motion is to postpone to the next NFC meeting. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Yes.
Nick Arena, not here. Fred Blair?
No.
Chris Corey?
No.
Chris Corey, say?
No.
Okay.
No.
No for Chris Corey. Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
No.
Julie Hewitt?
No.
R. Paul Martin? Yes. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
I'm going to vote at the end.
You pass. Anita Sims, not here. Okay. Nick is not here, and James Sagerton?
No.
Okay, the vote is 4-4, 5 against, 0 abstentions. It fails.
Okay, now we go to the main motion, or to the motion, the other motion, shall we say. Same situation, yes is for the motion, no is opposed to the motion. R. Paul, will you take the roll, please?
This is, point of clarification, this is the motion as amended by R. Paul's amendment, correct?
Yes.
Well,
sorry,
yeah, it's
you.
Not... It's not formally an amendment. I kind of asked if we could just stick it in there. But, yeah, it starts out that the NFC asked the – let me read exactly what I wrote down in front of it. The NFC recommends to the PNB that it adopt the following motion, and then it's the motion Beth brought up. Okay?
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And since it's the committee, we have been, fairly willing to make that kind of correction for the sake of time. Go ahead, Arpaul. Take the vote.
Okay. All right, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
No.
Nick Arena? Fred Blair?
Yes.
Chris Corey? Chris Corey?
Sorry, I keep my screen keeps going. My screen keeps going black for some reason. Yes.
Yes. Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Yes.
Julie Hewitt?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin? No. Sean Kelly McPherson?
No.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Anita Sims? Okay, 6-4, 3 against.
Okay. So, we will have to forward that to the PNB. Now, let's go to, I think we're done with that item. Let's go to number 8. This is review the year-end September financials and October financials. ICFO reporting, question and answer, 40 minutes. The ICFO is not here. Julia has prepared this presentation. Go ahead, Julia.
Hello, can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
I apologize. My earbuds are not working for some reason this evening. As far as the September financials go, I did not want to spend too much time digging into that. I just want to make sure that people knew that percentages have been corrected. A majority of those errors were on the tabs that had net decreases on line items. Unfortunately, those columns, the percentage column, is not automatically calculated when we run the export the financial statements from the system, and it's hand calculated. So I apologize for that. That's something that we have on the list of things that we would like to improve is updating the software to be able to calculate that for us. And I believe that someone had caught that there was a cell.
I think that was my fault. I apologize.
Okay, that's okay, Sean. Stay with us. Go ahead, Julia. Sorry.
I think someone had voiced a concern about that there was a cell that totaled instead of calculating the percentage, and that was found as well. I will say that Tamara went in and found those so we could get the corrections out to you. Also, for the year-to-date, I was able to talk with Maria today at KPFK, and there is a correction that she was able to go ahead and get entered. I'm not sure if it's been brought up in prior meetings, but if you look at the fiscal year 21 financial statements back in March under grants, there's actually a debit balance, which is a negative balance. You don't normally see negatives on a revenue line item of $90,000. And she was able to figure out what that was. So that actually, once you correct that, it gives you an $180,000 swing in revenue to the good. So we did not rerun the September financials. She did go ahead. I went ahead and checked behind her, and she did put those in to correct that. So that's good news for that. We, of course, still have a good bit of work to do with the audit. I'm hoping to get November done in this next couple of days so I can dig in on the audit to get that done. But, again, I just wanted to let you know because that was pretty significant correction there. Any questions about that?
Yes.
This is Linda. Lyndon for the staff.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Thank you, Jim. James. Julia, 2 weeks ago we brought up, or at least I brought up, that on KTFK they have a basically on their telephone expense for September have at least twice what their normal expense is. That's AE57. It's at $22,000. You know, I see it's, right. It's hasn't been changed, and I haven't got an explanation, I don't think, for that.
I haven't been able to go back and audit for the year. What I can tell you is, again, that it goes back to having to – I do not believe that there is a duplicate. I agree with you. That definitely stands out. It seems that we would have caught that there was a duplicate there, but I have it highlighted as part of my reconciliations for the audit to make sure. So, and I remember you mentioning that. I apologize. There were so many things going on. I'll make a note here. It's a little challenging between the two systems, but it has to get done anyway for the audit. So,
okay. That stands out. And then something else. On KPFT in the month of August, which on the rent tower, that has just $776. And every other month is like $6,700 and something. So that seems
wrong.
Yeah, the AD, KPFT.
Mm-hmm.
And the AD... 77.
At rent. The rent tower? Rent, you mean?
Yes.
And I'm looking at October.
August.
Yeah, this is fiscal year.
Take your time.
Okay. I'm going to have to go out on a limb and say that has something to do with that 8744 and somebody was back paying, but I'll make a note and look at that. I cannot speak for KPFT because I don't work closely with them as I do with some other stations. Typically with other stations, I can clearly say they don't book their invoices as they should, and so it makes for odd things like that. But again, I don't work with APST, so I'll need to reach out to her and see what that anomaly is there.
Okay. What did you say? You were going out on a limb and say what? I didn't catch that.
I don't want to assume that is what she is doing. I can clearly say that I know other stations do not post their invoices in the proper month. For her, I can't say that.
Okay,
she's typically pretty good with what she has going on, so there's probably an explanation for that. So I'll follow up with her on that. I just need to jot this down.
And I have one more question on KPFT. And that's programming expense. In September, that's line 74.
Mm-hmm.
Like an $8,700.
Right.
Expense.
I want to investigate that. I will say that I know.
I'd appreciate that.
Had a large PBS invoice. I think I've seen a lot of places had PBS invoices in September or in October, but I say for sure that that's what that is. But I'll check. And if it suits everyone, kind of get all this information together and email it to the group.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lyndon. And Julia, I want to just say that, again, these are corrected, but with the emphasis on pre-audit financials, the ones that you put out for today, these have the corrections other than the ones you just took already included in them, right?
They are not fully audited.
I have a...
They're pre-audited. That's what I was trying to say.
Right. So what was corrected was the percentages portion math. Now, I've already audited through, like for central services, I've gotten through probably the end of July and caught most, not central services, I apologize, intercompany. But, I mean, there's still some work to do. This is definitely... Yeah. Hopefully, we won't find anything too crazy.
And I just wanted to add that some of us today here on this committee were either all day or part of the day in an arbitration hearing. And so I apologize. I did not compile that list of other corrections that had come up in emails and send that on to you, but I will do that going forward. And if anybody else finds anything else, please send it to Julia, and we'll try and do as best we can to get this fixed up. So, anybody else? This is we're still
Sharon.
On September now. Go ahead, Sharon.
I just wanted to say thank you, Julia, for figuring out that grant thing, because that was, yes, I just want to say thank you for doing that, for checking in and following up on that.
Appreciate it. Anybody else for September?
It's bothering me, too.
Yeah.
Things have been known to drive accountants mad. anybody else for September? Other questions? Remember, this is the year-end financials. Okay, hearing none. Julia, are you ready to go on with October now?
Sure.
Wonderful.
I'm going to just let me close out of this September so I don't get confused. Okay, I know that I probably do not do, there's no way that I do things the same way that Anita does. So if you can bear with me, what I did is I know that some of you might want to walk through certain things, and that's great. And we also have the narrative that we provided. But I wanted to start by hitting the high points of the net income, and then a little bit about revenue and expenses, and then we can kind of dig into some more details.
Julie, before you go ahead, I just want to remind everyone it's now 9:33 by my clock, and we have a time certain at 9:45 to go to a review of the management letter. So we will probably be continuing this next time. So just, you know, take your time, do it at your normal pace. And whatever you don't get to, we'll do next time.
Well, I tried to pick out what I felt was most important, and you guys might think that something else is important, but these are the things that jumped out at me. So for the consolidated statement, the net income for October was about $109,000. That is 66% less than October of 2020. And the key point that built that number are as follows. The biggest ding was, unfortunately, KPFK's revenue in October was $250,000 less than it was in October of 2020. I went over the revenue with Mikkel, and I've been working very closely trying to craft a budget that really gets expenses under control and build some dreams with revenue. And I do know that the daily average fund drive totals it averaged $5,000 a day this year, and it was over $10,000 last year. So that just cuts to the chase right there. Also with the revenue, let's see, all of the stations were down to some extent, but except for WPFW, they were up 22%. I will be honest, I cannot recall if they had a fund drive in October. Not sure if somebody recalls that or not, but they did have a better month this month. And then the revenue for the national office, if you do dig in and start to look at that, it shows that it was 61% lower than the prior year. But I'm not 100% sure that that's accurate. If we look at the prior year number in October, it was
oddly high, and that's not that revenue is essentially the same every month and was the same this month for the average. But I think October, that's why, again, I need to go back in and see and, you know, what's going on with that month. So it might not be that percentage is accurate if we end up having to correct that October number. As far as expenses go, KPFK expenses were down dramatically over prior year. It was down 34%, which is about $105,000. I think everyone knows they've cut staff significantly, and Mikkel has really come in and really worked on some of the contracts to relieve some of that, and we're still trying to do that. KPFT was down about 10%, but two areas were up, and that's WBAI and the National Office. WBAI was up $43,000. Or about 42%, and that was mostly in premiums and premium shipping. Again, that might be a situation where it's a timing thing. I do recall that there were a number of invoices that I reviewed in October that I tagged that were probably going to be needing to be accrued back in September because we don't get them in a timely manner. So I believe that might be a situation with WBAI, that some of that might be September expense. But we'll know that in the next couple of weeks. And then the national office, again, a lot of that timing with them is they had legal fees. And again, that I mentioned earlier, the PBS invoice. I don't remember what that's for. It's about a little over $6,000. It's an invoice we pay every year, I think. I guess licensing maybe with PBS or dues or something. I could find out if somebody needed to know, but I did check that before we came on the call, and I know that's a PBS invoice. So that's how I build the story in my head is, you know, where are the significant swings, either in revenue and expense, and really what's kind of been the challenge is KPFA. Right now, revenue-wise, and then, of course, across the board, people being able to actually pay the national office what they owe, whether it be central services. You know, that's more of a cash discussion, which I'm happy. I feel like that's a critical thing that we need to talk about more so than anything else. Is the station's ability or inability to pay the national office for the expenses that the national office incurs on their behalf.
Is that a stopping point for you?
It can be.
Do you want to stop and take questions, or do you want to go ahead, Julia?
No, I'm happy to take questions.
Okay, I think I heard Chris.
Yeah, I actually have I have like four questions, James. I'm not sure. Maybe I should pair them up. I don't think I'm going to have time for all four unless I ask them all at once.
Somebody write these down. I'll say that so I can focus on answering.
Chris, if you
sure,
don't
I mean, get I can. Through. I'm sorry, what, James?
I was going to say, if you don't get through it all, maybe you could submit them to Julia. She can bring it back with her next time.
Okay, I got two quick ones that I think she's already answered. One is the $90,000 grant at KPFA. I'm just curious as to what that exactly was. I should know since I'm a staff member of that station, but I don't recognize it. And I know that you have been looking at it this week. So there's that one. Then there's the $29,000 development expense at WBAI, I believe that's been discussed, and that was premiums. If you could just confirm those two details, that'll take two of them off the plate.
You are correct, and that $29,000 in WBAI, again, is I'm concerned that some of that might be September expenses because it's just too much of a weird swing. $90,000, she explained to me what she did. It was a banking error. Somebody posted it to the wrong account. I do not know the name of the grant, but I'm sure Maria could tell you.
Okay, I'll just inquire with Maria.
Yeah,
James, that was fairly quick.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Do you mind if I continue, James? It'll only take probably 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
Okay. I see the large revenue drop in at KPFK, and we're all quite familiar with it. I just want to point out that the overall organization has a revenue drop that is about $25,000 less than the listener revenue drop at KPFK. I keep bringing this up to point out how critical it is that we plug the dike at KPFK and stop the bleeding. The operating expenses number looks fantastic there. That's great. It's really heading in the right direction. The other question I had, I think, was, maybe you already answered it. I didn't have any questions about PFW or T. Those books are pretty straightforward. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Is there anybody else?
Mr. Chair, this is not on this. I just want to note that the chair skipped minutes approval before. If we could do that before we go off to the other thing, that'd be good.
Yes, we will do that.
Okay.
Not hearing anybody else on this, nobody else seeking recognition at the moment. Why don't we go and do that right now? I did skip that. My apology. Was there deliberately, and I missed it. So let's take a break here. And Julia, as we said, you know, we'll come back to this at the next meeting. And so, Arpal, why don't you go ahead with the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes of the November 30th, 2021 NFC meeting.
And that was okay. Does anybody have any question or correction? Hearing none, we understand that these can be corrected anytime at a later date. Is there any objection to approving these minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider them approved. Arpal, do you have any more?
Not till we get into executive session.
Correct. Thank you very much. All right, it is now 9:43. Julia, do you want to? Well, it's now 9:44. why don't we adjourn this session? And Fred, can we just cut the stream and go to executive session instead of making everybody dial another number?
Yes.